Good morning. Welcome to our radio broadcast this morning. We hope that you'll continue to be a regular listener, and each Sunday morning at this time, we open up the pages of the Word of God in order that we might have a better understanding of the truth contained therein. My name is Keith Greer, and I am happy that you've taken the time to be with us this morning. Today, I want to talk to you about the uniqueness of sin. Since the beginning of time, way back in the Garden of Eden, when sin first came into this world, it has plagued the lives of mankind with many different miseries. When the serpent told the first lie, when he added to what God had said, when he told Eve, "You shall not surely die," in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 4, this great plague came into our society. All the serpent did was add one word to what God said, the word "not." Eve was deceived. Adam sinned also, and their choices brought serious consequences upon all the parties concerned, the serpent, the woman, and the man. That is told to us in Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. Herein lies the first lesson concerning sin. It makes each one accountable for the choices it makes. Eve was responsible for her choice. Adam was responsible for his, and the serpent was responsible for his conduct. And so, thus, by the act of sin, now men must die. We read this, according to Romans chapter 5, 12 through 14. We will not live forever, and we die spiritually every time we transgress God's law. That truth is told in Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. Now we know that the Bible does not lie to us because it's impossible for God to lie, Hebrews 6 and verse 18. Therefore, whatever it says about sin, we can be assured that it is the truth. Today, we want to take a close look at this little word called sin. We want to see what the Bible says about it and what makes it the unique thing that it is. To begin with, we need to know what we're talking about. What is sin? Well, sin is a transgression of the law, according to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. And all that means is that we go beyond the authority of Christ. That truth is also taught in 2 John verses 9 through 11, when we are told that when we don't abide in the doctrine or the teaching of Christ, and we have no "thus saith the Lord," or his approval or authority for our actions, we have committed sin. In 1 John 5 and verse 17, we're told that all sin is unrighteousness. And last, in James chapter 4 and verse 17, if we know to do good and do not do it, that also is sin. That is called the sin of omission. We fail to act and do what is right when we know what is right. That also constitutes sin. How can we sin? Well, we can sin in our thoughts. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28, Jesus said in the Great Sermon on the Mount that a man was guilty of adultery when he had lust in his heart for someone else. That's in thought. We can sin indeed, and that is by doing exactly what God has told us not to do. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 6, we can read very plainly in Paul's letter to the church at Colossae, when we go beyond the things that are written. When we go beyond the things that are written, we have become guilty of sin. And we sin indeed when we do things that God tells us not to do. The works of the flesh of Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21. These constitute sin. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17 and 18, we have divine instruction concerning our responsibility to others. Whosoever has this world's goods, sees his brother in need, and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God dwell in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. What is the nature of sin? Well, that's very simple. Let's read a biblical definition of the allurements of sin In James chapter 1, beginning in verse number 12, we read, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed, and when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." The nature of sin is that it's enticing. It is something that's trying to allure us. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, it is deceitful. It's misleading. It tries to appear to be something that it's not. And according to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 25, it is pleasant and it is fun, but it is for a season. In Hebrews 11:25, "Choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin." And so we see what the nature of sin is. We see what sin is, a transgression of God's law, and we see that we can sin in thought, in word, and in deed. But sin also has some things that it does, and we want to look briefly at these this morning. Sin is the only thing that can do these things. Number one, it separates a man from God. In Isaiah, the 59th chapter, this truth is taught very plainly and very easy to understand. In the 59th chapter of the prophet Isaiah, we read in verse 1 and in verse 2 that sin separates man from God. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so he will not hear you." Sin separates a man from God. Spiritual death. That's what sin brings. That's our second point. Every sin brings to spiritual death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We were told by the great prophet Ezekiel in Ezekiel 18 and verse 20 that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. We know that's true because God told Adam and Eve in the beginning in Genesis chapter 2 that in the day that they ate of the tree, in that day they would surely die. And the day they ate, they did surely die, because in Genesis chapter 3, verse 24, they were cast forth from the Garden of Eden, thus they were separated from God, thus spiritual death occurred. That is the consequences of sin. Sin also cost the death of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, according to Hebrews 9:22. Peter told us in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18 through 20 that we were not bought with silver and gold, but by the precious, unspotted blood of the Lamb. And then we're told in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8 that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Friend, when you look at the cross, it is an example of the great love that God had for mankind, but also is a standing testimony of God's hatred for sin. For if it would not have been for sin, our Lord would never have to come to this earth and to die that terrible death upon the cross. And so sin cost the death of Jesus Christ. Sin also has the ability to keep God from hearing us. We are told that he does not hear the sinner in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 12. Sin will hinder our prayers. Sin will keep us from receiving the blessings that we have in Christ, according to Ephesians 1 verse 3, because that sin has separated us from God, and the blessing that we have will be taken away from us. We are also told in Hebrews the 10th chapter and verse 30 and 31 that sin will prompt the vengeance of God. "For this we know, who says, vengeance in mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. and again the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We are also told very plainly in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, in verse 7 through 9, listen very carefully to the consequence that awaits those who commit sin, who are guilty of transgressing the law of God. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. You see, sin will prompt God's vengeance. God is going to take vengeance on all those who have failed to obey him or those who do not know him. Next, sin enslaves a man. It enslaves his thought, Romans 1, 21 through 23. It enslaves his passions, according to Romans 1, 24 and 26. It enslaves his will, according to Romans 1, verse 28 through 32. And you see, that's one of the reasons that Jesus came to earth, and that is to release us from the bondage of sin, according to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. And the last, but the most terrible thing of all that sin accomplishes, is it will cause us to miss heaven. You see, if we do the works of the flesh, we can't inherit the kingdom of God, according to Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. This truth is also taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11, that no unrighteous person can inherit the kingdom of God. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, we are given a list of sins that will cause us to miss being allowed to enter into heaven. You see, sin has some terrible, terrible consequences. It will cause one to miss the greatest reward that God has promised his children, and that is a home in heaven for all eternity. And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, sin in all of its terribleness. There's not one appealing thing that I can tell you about sin. I have been asked, is sin fun and pleasurable? Oh yes, it is, but it is temporary. It will not last. It will not endure. And what it costs you, it is not worth the price. It has often been said that sin will take us where we didn't really want to go. It will keep us longer than we really wanted to stay. And last but not least, it will cost us far more than we ever had wished or hoped that we had to pay. You see, sin is the enemy of the soul. Sin is the destructive nature that ruins everything that it touches. It brings pain. It brings misery. It brings heartache. It brings sadness. It brings tears. It brings eternal separation from God if it is not repented of. You see, sin, although it is a little word, it is a very powerful thing. Come to Christ, and he can wash away your sin by his blood. Come to Christ, and he can tell you how to recognize it, and how to flee from it, how to abstain from it, and how to not let it ruin your eternal relationship with him. Yes, sin is very unique, and we all sin and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. But God has an answer how sin cannot continue to hurt us. Thank you for listening, and we invite you again to our services this morning to come and worship the God of heaven. We hope to hear you again and be with you.